We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bradfo Show.
That's my open?
That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hit Bradford.
That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion.
Bradfo Show. That's delicious.
Here's the deal. So I don't think that we've ever had a Red Sox draft pick on the Bradfo Show before, but this is such a unique occasion. You have a guy, Durbin Feldman, who is a pitcher for TCU, a relief pitcher. And the reason why it's a unique situation is because this is probably the best example the Red Sox have had of a guy who can possibly go from the draft in the same year to the major league team. We remember Brandon Finnegan did it a couple years ago, 2014 with the Royals. Remember that World Series? And going back a ways, Craig Hansen with the Red Sox. Doesn't happen a lot, but this guy, everybody said, the one guy in the draft, you're going to pick one guy who has that opportunity to do it, it is Durbin Feldman. So who did we want on? We wanted Durbin. That's who we wanted on. And not only did we want him on, we wanted to do it in person. So we did. Good podcast, good kid to talk to, really insightful, and surprise to me, along with all the talk about playing in the major leagues this year and everything else, huge Patriots fan, actually could identify the backup running back for the New England Patriots, passed the test. Good listen. Check it out.
I was going to talk to Durbin Feldman on the phone, but let's be honest, Durbin, there's talking over the phone, and I've never met you before. So, first of all, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
All right. So I'm sitting outside Fenway Park, ready to go to eat at Yard House, just had done the radio. I said, hey, you know, you got a few minutes to talk on the radio, or to talk over the phone, and you're like, well, I'm just hanging out in the hotel here. And I'm like, well, what hotel? I'm in Boston. I'm like, okay, where it is? Right next to Fenway Park. I'm like, oh, well, this will work out, because as everyone who listens to this knows, let's just be honest, it's always better in person. As I sit here, yeah, like I can tell that you're excited. You have a Red Sox hat on. It's not like it feels like you you're the high school, you know, you go to college and your parents made you wear your high school jacket to college, right?
Absolutely. I mean, just to be up in Boston, especially across from Fenway, is unbelievable. And so I'm just ready, excited for the opportunity, ready to get going.
So when did you get into town? So obviously we're right around the corner from Fenway Park. Did you go over there? What's been sort of the experience so far?
I showed up today, came here straight from the airport, so I haven't done anything yet.
It's right there, Fenway Park. So you didn't walk over, you didn't walk by?
I was here last summer. I went to a game against the Indians, played in the Cape, so came up here for a game. And yeah, the game was already done by the time I got here. I definitely would have tried to go, but I just didn't have the chance.
But I mean, this is like still like you're saying I'm just sitting around the hotel. I'm like I would be walking around. I'd be breaking into Fenway Park and going to the game as a member. You know, while you're playing the Cape League, did you sit in the bleachers? Did you sit in the grandstand?
We sat in the outfield, and then a couple of my friends had tickets behind home plate, so then we moved back there from the sixth on, and it was just an incredible experience.
Yeah, so you've been to Fenway Park, but now you're here. You're like feet away from it, and you have the Red Sox hat on, which I admire, but like you had to walk over there. You had to basically soak it all in, because as we've talked about, a lot of people talked about, the draft just happened, and you're the third round pick. You're just minutes away from being, well, not literally minutes, but minutes away from actually playing in that park. But yet you said you came straight to the hotel. It's still sort of baffling.
I mean, I woke up early this morning, and my flight got delayed, so I just got kind of exhausted. I got all day tomorrow. I'll be doing different stuff tomorrow, so I'd assume I'd be over there. But I'll see it.
That's all good. It's all good. It's my own issues. I'll never be a high draft pick in the major league. So I can only live vicariously through you. So anyway, you went to Fenway as a fan last year in the Cape League, but you didn't. Leading up to the draft, you didn't work out at Fenway. Were you in communications with the Red Sox? And I know this question's probably been asked of you, but did you sort of feel like the Red Sox were in on you? Did someone particularly show, like, have a lot of conversations with you? What was your interaction with the Red Sox leading up to the draft?
We always have scout meetings. So I met with all 30 teams, basically. And Brandon is the area scout for North Texas, so talked with him multiple times, and so I had a feeling that it could be the Red Sox. Wasn't really sure.
But they didn't separate themselves from they didn't say I absolutely think they're gonna this one or two teams are I think are gonna draft me. They weren't like that. They were just one of a bunch of teams.
Yeah, not particularly. Yeah. Just felt like whoever gets me first gets me.
Well, that's fair. So you didn't work out, just to make it clear, you didn't work out for them specifically?
No, sir.
Okay, all right. So now you're leading into the draft, and take me through sort of that day. Where are the teams calling you? Well, first of all, who's your advisor, agent?
I have an advisor in Dallas Group.
Okay. So, and I would imagine he's helping you through the process. But take me through that day, the day of the draft, because you know the day is coming. You know you're going to get drafted. But it's one thing to know and plan it, and you're trying to, I would imagine, putting out of your head or whatever. I don't know what your day was like. Take me through that day, though.
So Monday came, and I really didn't know if I'd go on day one or day two. Kind of borderline in between. So day one finished. Didn't hear my name called on TV. Everybody's going to be a little...
Were you pissed?
Not particularly. I mean, everybody's going to be a little disappointed. Everybody wants to go day one, of course. So it's tough to sleep that night. As you can imagine. So just kind of got away from things, played some video games, just kept my mind off it.
And you're at school? You're at home?
I'm at home.
Okay.
I went over to a buddy's house. He got drafted 75th, Luke and Baker. So
yep.
Went over there and talked to him, hung out, and then woke up the next morning, still woke up at 9. I think the draft started at noon. Little brother's in the back room playing Fortnite video games, so I just sat in there watching them, trying to keep my mind off things. Actually went through, just keep my arm loose before just anything to kill time, and third round finally started, so just sat there and waited. 99th pick comes around, I get a text that I'm the next pick, and saw pick number 100 for Red Sox and heard my name called, and it was unbelievable. It was
great. So you got a text. Did you get the text that you were getting picked, or did you see it on the screen first?
The screen was a little behind of real time, just because of the delay with the internet. So saw that, and then we just kind of lost it.
So when you go and take going back to that day before, as good as you are, as good as you've been, was there, things because you, I didn't go in the first two rounds. Did anything creep in your head, wait a second, maybe they're looking at me differently than I thought it would? Was there any doubts, or were you I'm just going to go in the third round?
I felt like I did everything in my power this season to put myself in the best position possible. I know relievers in the draft typically don't go high, so... Nothing really crept in. It's just who's gonna take the
chance? Your brother? How old is your brother?
I have two. One's 23.
You said the one.
The little one is 15.
Was he bugging you? Or?
No. He's so in the zone with that that video game. He was just excited. He was ready to see me get drafted.
So when you got drafted, when the word comes down, we said, you know, everything broke loose or whatever. What does that mean? What happens from there? First of all, do you get a call from the Red Sox?
I did. I got a call from Brandon, the area scout, saying congrats. We'll be in touch. I'll have more information with you later. And, I mean, my phone just started blowing up with everybody. Friends, family, everybody just shooting me a text or calling me saying congrats.
So then, when does it sink in? Like, this is a moment that, you know, you're thinking about, you know, probably ever since you were a little kid. But it's one thing to think about it, then it's actually one another thing to happen. So when does it sink in for you?
I really don't think it's sinking in yet. Just being up here, I'm still kind of just...
Yeah, you're just feet away from Fenway Park, which you refuse to go to. I hear you. I mean, it's probably sort of a whirlwind, right?
Yeah, it's just kind of a whirlwind. Just things are happening so fast, and then I think it won't sink in until I start actually playing again and then realize that, hey, I'm playing professional baseball.
Did you immediately, I don't know how familiar you were with, like, you came to the Red Sox game last year. Who do you play with at the Cape again?
The Falmouth Commodores.
Who was your manager?
Mike Turney, or Jeff Turney. Jeff Turney, sorry.
Okay, yeah. I was just down there. I emceed the Cape Cod League Manager's Brunch. It was delightful. But, and you obviously, the Cape League is a great place. You know, a crap load of guys you probably played with, played against, or there. So, anyway, it's... good that you got to experience Massachusetts and Boston a little bit last year. But when you get drafted by the Red Sox, how familiar are you? You can be honest. You can, like, I know Mookie Betts plays for him, or I know Chris Sale plays for him. Like, are you super familiar with the Red Sox when you get drafted?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I grew up a Patriots fan, so.
Wait a second. Let's stop right there. So... from Texas, correct?
Mm-hmm, from Houston.
Okay. I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, how this happened, but I'll just, like, how does that happen?
Well, Brady played in Super Bowl in Houston in 2003, 2004, one of those. I think I was, like, 5 years old at the time, so we actually went to, like, the pre-Super Bowl stuff, and I don't know what happened, but just started liking them. Just kind of clicked. I don't know. I was so young. Maybe I liked the colors. Maybe something. It just became my team.
So did you come in? Did you interact with Brady or the Patriots?
No. Just like the festivities that went down on downtown. Just kind of something clicked. And
really?
Then I was like, wow, I really like this team. And ever since then, I've been following them. Of course, I'm a huge baseball fan. So
you like the Astros.
Oh, like the Astros, but...
yeah, no, listen, you're sitting here with an Astros hat on. Yeah. No, I don't begrudge you for that. But to go back to the Patriots, so you... I guess. I mean, like, so you see them, you like them, you're 5 or 6 years old, and then you just go from there, and I guess you picked the good team to do, but still, I mean, you're in Texas. The Texans are pretty decent, you know, and if you don't want the Texans, you could do the Cowboys. I don't know if that's a thing down where you are.
Or... yeah, my dad's a big, big Dallas Cowboys fan, okay. And so, I mean, I like the Cowboys, but the Patriots have always been the team for me, and family just... oh, Brady. We don't like Brady. They're all Peyton Manning fans because we have a lot of family from Indianapolis, so Colts and their rivals. So I'm just kind of like the black sheep that likes the Patriots, but getting drafted by Boston makes it even sweeter.
So you were the guy, you know, in those NFL commercials, you were the guy with, you know, that you have the entire table full of, let's say, Texans fans, and you were the guy with the New England jersey?
Absolutely.
Did you really, I mean, like, it's one thing to like a team, but you were legit.
I mean, I think there's a picture on Instagram or something. I mean, I got the beanies, the jerseys, I got pajama pants. I mean, I'm legit all in, bought in with
really?
The Patriots, yeah.
Because really, and this is how we perceive it here anyway, is that everybody hates the Patriots outside New England, right?
Here, and it's true. I mean, you do not run into many Patriots fans in Texas, that's for sure.
So, I have to ask, like, so at the height of the Patriots' hatred, which is Deflategate, you know, Tom Brady, were you, like, in classes, or were you saying, no, my guy Brady didn't do it? I mean, that was a hard time for a lot of people, so it must have been a hard time for you.
Absolutely. I did all my research trying to find how it, like, the science behind deflating balls and stuff like that with the weather. Like, maybe they brought them in from a heated indoor facility and came out and PSI went down. So I got us back.
Yeah, so, I mean, you had to have your defense, right? You had, and you did.
Absolutely.
That's great. So I apologize that you had to go through the last Super Bowl, as we all did. That was tough for you?
It was tough. I mean, I was watching up at TCU with a bunch of teammates, and there were some Philly fans there. Nobody wants to see pitchers lose. No one wants to see them win a sixth. Yeah. So I thought we were going to come back, and then it was hard to watch.
Did you ever... Were you literally the only Patriots fan that you knew? Because, like you said, the only, you must have been, again, this is the spotlight shines down on you where everybody else is not even close to being a Patriots fan. That's pretty much how it was, right?
Yeah, I was one of a handful. I mean, there were some guys that liked Brady just because,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, but
he's
not,
a winner,
not
but
legit.
Not really a Patriots fan. And then it's like a handful of guys that'd be from, hey, my dad grew up in Boston, so I'm like that. But it's very, very, very few.
So you can name other people other than Brady on the team.
Yeah, yeah.
If I did a Patriots quiz,
with everybody that's left, but I can name most.
You can name a linebacker.
A linebacker, yeah.
Oh.
These are safeties. Both the McCourty brothers we finally got.
Yeah.
Hightower, of course.
You've already aced it, right? Running back. Give me a running back.
Running back, Deion Lewis or
gone.
Burkhead, is he still there?
Yeah, he's still there.
Is Gillis still there?
He is, yeah, that's a good one. That, to me, you convinced me. When you mentioned Mike Gillisley, there you go. You're locked in.
Yeah.
So let's get back to baseball. So you were drafted. You get the call, and you're like, the Red Sox. And so let's go back to knowing the Red Sox. How well did you know the Red Sox?
I mean, I knew like most of their starters. I want to say I'm diehard. Like, I don't know everything about them, but pretty familiar with them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I watched Kimbrel growing up just be one of the most dominant closers in the game. And so just watching him, Joe Kelly, and, of course, Chris Sale and Price and everybody that's come through there.
So let's go with Kimbrel because, obviously, you're a reliever. And Kimbrel is a reliever of all relievers, or at least one of them. So when you look at you look at him pitch, do you say, that's what I want to be? That's my guy.
Absolutely. Try to model my game after him. He's one of the best, if not the best, to ever do it in the closer position. So just every time he's on TV or I get a chance to watch, I'm tuned in.
So this is before you were drafted by the Red Sox. Was Kimbrel like legitimately, and you can be honest, was Kimbrel legitimately the closer? You said that's the guy, or was there other closers?
Well, everybody likes to watch Chapman just because he throws 103. But, I mean, Kimbrel's who I've always watched. I'm not 6'6". Like
that's a good point.
So I'm 6 foot, like he is. Not a big guy, so... Just to see someone my size be able to dominate it like that compared to all the 6'6 flamethrowers, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
What jumps out for you about him? Like when you're watching him, like, you know, I know he does the arm thing or whatever, but what jumps out to you about watching him?
The ability to throw up in zone. His ball just seems to rise, and I think that's why he gets so many swings and misses. That and then the fact that he can throw a upper 80s knuckle curve. You don't see that in the upper 80s even close, so... That's pretty cool to watch.
You hit the nail on the head. Those are the two most unique things. It's like, and I have to be honest, all I've seen pitching is on YouTube or whatever. But that fastball, you know, and I don't know if you have that feeling, if you've seen guys with that, but to me that's something. You know, I know spin rate and all that stuff, but you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the ability to let it ride let it seem like it rises. I think that's what helps you get a lot of swing. That's what I think helps him get a lot of swing and misses. It's fun to watch.
Do you in college? Did they let you guys have the spin rate measure that sort of stuff, or have you ever been measured?
Yeah, we have TrackMan and spin rate, all that. We don't dive too deep into it. We'll click on it just for fun, just to compare other pitchers, but we don't really dig too deep into that.
So when you look at it, so now you're drafted by the Red Sox, you look at the Red Sox, and you know, one of the conversations with you is, of all the people, and I'll be honest with you, all the people in the draft, they said, this guy has probably the best chance of making the majors in that year. And I'm going to talk to you in a second about, I talked to Chris Sale about it, because he did it back in 2010. So the first question about that is, when you get drafted, do you start looking at who, and you can be honest, who the relievers are and what their bullpen looks like?
Not really. Yeah. I mean, I'm just, first of all, just completely blessed to be drafted. So I'm not going to look at, I mean, if I get there, I get there.
Well, I know. It's one step at a time.
One step at a time. So I mean, I haven't really looked. I, of course, know the back end, which is absolutely unbelievable, and Kimbrel and Kelly. So not really. Mm. But if I were to make it this year, that would be a dream come true.
Is there a moment where you don't know until you face major league hitters? I mean, you just haven't faced major league hitters. But people say things and talk to you about it. But is there a moment performance-wise where you're like, my game is sort of has increased to the level where I'm really, really confident against any hitter that I go against? And you face some good hitters.
Yeah. This year I felt like it got to that point where, I mean, this is kind of selfish, but I'd get mad when they put the ball in play, just because I wanted to strike everybody else. Yeah, I mean, if they can induce weak contact, I mean, I'm okay with that. But I felt like this year it increased to that level where I'm trying to get everybody out that I face. Don't want to give up very many hits and stuff like that. So we'll see how that plays in professional baseball.
What was that? You said this year. I mean, what was sort of that point where, like, hey, you know what? I think I at least have the ability to strike out every hitter that I face. You probably didn't feel like that 2 years ago, or maybe you did. I don't know. But was there sort of a turning point for you?
The focus on this year was just throw more strikes. Mm-hmm. Last year, wind up and all that kind of got out of sync, too fast, too herky-jerky, too erratic. So just focused on this year, like, hey, this is my stuff, try to hit it, just pound the zone, and it seems to work out really well.
What did you change in your delivery?
I just slowed it all down.
Really?
It was from freshman year to sophomore year, it was a full second faster.
Really?
Sophomore year. And so I slowed it back down and felt more in control of myself, and it helped me be more in control.
Was there a highlight in terms of this season when you're like, no, I've never thrown like this. And this isn't being selfish, by the way. This is just being realistic.
Threw an immaculate inning sometime in April, and I remember turning around, first strikeout. I was like, all right, that's three, no big deal. It's happened before. Next strikeout, turned around, that's six, saw 99 up on the board, and was like, well, let's just see if they can hit that, because not very many people can in college anyways. And then got to the eighth pitch, and I was like, I'm going to throw this right down the middle, see what happens. I'm not going to try to waste a pitch, trying to get him to chase or anything. I'm at eight, and I already have two strikeouts. Let's go. And then ended up finishing that inning, nine pitches and 3 Ks, and that was just...
What was it against? Do you remember?
University of Texas, Arlington.
Oh, okay. All right. And so, like you said, the last pitch, was it just like, I'm going to throw this as hard as I can?
I was trying to go for triple digits, and I was trying to throw it right down, or trying to paint.
Have you ever hit 100?
I have not.
Ooh.
Something I'm looking forward to, but...
I get
razzed all the time. You'll never throw 100.
But
so.
You said you threw 98. You throw 99?
Yeah, I've been up to 99.
Yeah. Well, it's the gun. It's the gun. The gun's inaccurate. I mean, come on. It's like the gun.
I hope so. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, you ever talk to Brandon Finnegan?
I've had some conversation with him, but not too much.
Okay, all right. Obviously, you know, because he DCU.
Series and regular World Big League World Series in the same year, but I haven't talked to him about that experience.
Did your coach talk to you about him at all?
After I got drafted?
Yeah.
No.
Or even, like, during. I don't know if he's a guy. He's like, oh, you know, that this guy did this. He had this mentality or anything like that.
Yeah, they would use that. I think he went. He didn't have a great sophomore season and then came back and just dominated junior year. So they use that example all the time. Like, hey, things might be going your way. Just keep working hard. End up a first-round pick. Like, just kind of use them as that. Yeah.
Your coach played in the majors, right?
Coach Charlos did. He played for Astros and the A's.
What advice did he give about this whole thing? I mean, he's obviously had other, we just mentioned one, people who've gone to professional baseball. But for you, he's a pitcher. Mm-hmm. As a pitcher, like, what did he say to you? Like, obviously you have great stuff, you have great ability. What advice did he give you beyond just, like, go get him?
Just kind of stay in yourself. Keep doing what you're doing. TCU's prepared me in, I feel like, every way possible. And they've set me up for success and then future success. So just kind of told me, stay within yourself, keep doing what you're doing, and it'll play.
What are you looking forward to the most?
Ooh, well, right now is
walking over 10 feet to Fenway Park.
Just getting started and see what I got.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell. I mean, it's one thing you have to sit around this hotel and what do you? I would imagine you physicals and things like that or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah, got those tomorrow and then hopefully sign.
Okay. Did the Red Sox? I've talked to the people at the Red Sox and when we talk about this whole jump to the majors thing. Like they said, like, okay, so I'm going to go back to Chris Sale because I think you might be interested in this, right? So when Chris Sale in 2010, he was drafted, they actually told him, like, then, like, we have this plan for you. So he sort of knew it was coming. People in Red Sox, if they said to me, and anyway, if this is going to happen, it's going to happen organically, which is good, which is a cool thing, right? Because you don't want to say you're going to do it.
Right?
But, you know, with Chris Sale, it was sort of like he looked back at it and it's like I was just putting one foot in the front and the other. I didn't have a car. I was driving my mom's car. And it's hard for you to take yourself out of this moment, and you shouldn't take yourself out of this moment. But is that sort of your mindset of like, I'm just going to like, I'm not worrying about the hitters being paid, you know? I'm not worrying about, you know, wearing a different uniform. It's just one foot in front of the other.
Absolutely. Just take it one pitch at a time. That's what I've been doing since I stepped foot on TCU, just one pitch at a time. Don't worry about making it to the majors or anything. It's wherever I'm placed. That first outing when they call my number, just go out there and take one pitch at a time, throw one strike at a time.
If Chris Sale said that's what he did, yeah. It's like the way to take it.
Enjoy every moment of it.
Yeah, that's the thing. And then, I mean, you're halfway through a baseball season, and so you won't experience your first spring training, you won't experience any of it, but this is a pretty cool thing to experience right now.
Absolutely. It's incredible.
Is there anything, I always like to ask this, like this doesn't have to be baseball related, hobbies, anything that people don't know, a lot of people don't know about you. Maybe it's like you went skydiving once. Maybe it's because it can't just be all like I grew up playing baseball and it was like I think we found a pretty good one in the Patriots fan thing. But
I don't know. I have a couple baseball related. Didn't start pitching until senior year in high school. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's out there. And then I used to throw just straight knuckleballs when I was younger, like 13. Just one was knuckleball, two was fastball. That's all I threw.
Really.
Yeah, so.
But you were a catcher, right?
I was a catcher, yeah. I grew up catching.
And so when you said you threw knuckleballs, this is when you came in randomly to pitch?
I would come in randomly, just, hey, and like, let's change it up. Let's throw this guy for an inning, make him throw knuckleballs. It wasn't make me throw. I could actually throw one. And so I would come in there, and just hitters would be like, we're 14 years old. We haven't seen this ever. So it was kind of funny to watch not only the hitters try to hit it, but also catchers try to catch it.
Did you ever end up break that out at all when you started pitching?
Oh, I wish, but no.
No?
Not.
Oh, really?
Come on, knuckleball right after a fastball, that would be something to see. But.
Yeah, I mean, like every once in a while, like that's the thing. Steven Wright, one of the good things he does, he actually can get it up to – well, I've seen him get it up to – He hasn't done this recently. He got it up to 91 against Nelson Cruz. He can live at 87, 88. So I'm just break it out once in a while.
Break it out, but the problem is if you throw a bad one, it's just a slow BP ball, yeah. And you don't know where that's going to get hit.
Yeah. Did you talk about Houston and, like, the Astros thing. Did you watch the playoffs last year?
Absolutely. Yeah. Everybody, TCU, my roommates, were huge Rangers fans, so they were, of course, rooting for the Dodgers against the Astros.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was diehard. I was like, "It's World Series about to come to Houston for the first time," because when I was 8 in 2005 when they went,
yeah,
and saw them get, they got swept, and so I was like, "Well, we need to get back there."
Well, when they're taking it to the Red Sox, I mean, listen, it's a different time. It's totally understood, but you must have been like all in, you know, with that series, Astros versus Red Sox.
Absolutely, to see, I mean, Bregman take Chris Sale deep in his like second year, it was unbelievable. But now I'm on the other side.
That's fair. It's just, I think we all understand. You have any questions about that? I can answer you in terms of. I don't know if you know, Fenway Park's like 10 feet away. Yeah. But anything else that you need to know?
I mean, I've been in Boston for one night, like when I came to the game, so I'm new to the area. I don't think I'll be here long, but
yeah.
Hopefully I'm back and just. I really don't have any questions.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Like one foot in front of the other. Yeah. I really appreciate you taking the time. It's obviously a pleasure to get to know you a little bit, and welcome to Boston.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.